Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still feeling so energetic because tonight we are continuing our study from the book of Isaiah. And we know that this study will expose all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we would like to have what I consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, keep therefore my commandments and do them. For this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these commandments and say, surely you are wise and understanding about God. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. The promise, if you want to be wise and understanding about God, you must keep his commandments. God said, all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2. The promise is that you will have the commandments or the blessings of God overtake you if you keep his commandments. God said, I will not fail thee or forsake thee as long as you do not disobey my commandments. That is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The promise is that you will be not left or forsaken by God Almighty if you keep his commandments. The question is, are you standing on the promises? Now, before we get started, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at instruction number 33 out of 101 that I've written for this series. Instruction number 33 is Isaiah chapter 23, and it is verse 14 through 18 is what we're going to look at. And as I read the text, my brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to this instruction. The instruction is God's judgment is for all his people. God's judgment is for all his people. So as I read the text, keep this in mind, that God's judgment is for all of his people. And Isaiah chapter 23, verse 14 through 18 is going to identify one of those that the prophet Isaiah gave to the nation of Israel. Howl, ye ships of Tarsus, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. So this prophecy is against the nation of Tyre. Take a harp. Go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass, after the end of 70 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to be her hire, and she shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. So God's judgment is for this particular nation of Tyre, according to Isaiah the prophet. Now what we want to do is go to our New Testament complement. We want to go to the book of Revelations and see if we can find a comparison and agreement in God's judgment for all his people. This is at the end of the Bible, and it is identified as the end of time as far as the book of Revelations identifies it. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 and verse 12, and this is how it compares and agrees with Isaiah chapter 23, verse 14 through 18. This is what the text says about God's judgment is for all his people. Listen, my brothers and sisters. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. So the judgment is for the end of time as we know it. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those books which were written in the books, according to their works. So this is the judgment that we're talking about. Now, the spiritual lesson I want you to understand from this, if we get to it before the break, is this, that God will judge all of his creation, both physical and spiritual. Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 says, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So we can see where God's judgment is for all of his people, physically and spiritually. And now we'll continue after the break.
Thank you. I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverb 6, 8:11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander. Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer. They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. They keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learned to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best, meaning give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 34, and we're back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 24. We're going to start off reading verses 1 through 6 in Isaiah chapter 24. And this is the instruction I would like for you to pay attention to as I read the text. A curse from God identified. Now, we know that there were many curses throughout, or there are many curses throughout the Bible. The first one beginning in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan was cursed and women were cursed and God was cursed. Men were cursed. Now, this is one that Isaiah is identifying during his time as prophet to the nation of Israel. It is verse 1 through 6, chapter 24, a curse from God identified. And this is what the text says. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. All, no one is preempted from the curse when it has been identified. Verse 3 says, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse there it is, my brothers and sisters, devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now, we can say safely that this has not occurred yet, as prophesied by Isaiah. And I am thinking and suggesting to you that it is telling us of the future event towards the end of the earth. Now, more of this is in verse 17 through 23 that can probably add more clearance to what Isaiah is prophesying. This is what verse 17 through 23 says, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." Now, we know that in the book of Revelations, it identifies that bottomless pit. So that's another reason why I'm suggesting to you that this is a prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled yet concerning a curse that is from God. Verse 19 says, "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro from like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord God shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." Sounds like Book of Revelations, again, identifying Babylon, and we know that Babylon is a symbol of the world. Verse 22 says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited." Sounds like the end of time. We just read about the judgment seat. "Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously." Sounds like the end of time. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at the book of Galatians. We're going to see what Paul has to refer about this in Galatians chapter 3, verse, and this is what it says now. We're looking at a curse from God identified. This is what Paul says to the Galatians. "For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse." Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? "For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now, what Paul is identifying, and it is identifying that to all of us, that what was written in the book of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 27, it identifies the curses, maybe 10 or 15 curses that Israel is subjected to. And the last curse, or the last part of the curse, says that all of those who do not respond to the previous ones are a part of the curse. So that means the law. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we will be judged, that God will judge all of his creation. We must be careful to rightfully divide the law to ensure we are not doing these things which are accursed to God. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, which I just shared with you. Now, what is for you to understand is not all of the law is cursed. You know that honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not have any other gods before thee. Those are part of the law that has been incorporated under grace. So we know that's not part of the curse. And that's something that you should realize. You have to rightfully divide all of what that you're studying. And that's what I want you to understand spiritually from this. Now let's go to instruction number 35. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse 1, verse 8, and verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 25. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. God will still save. That is the underlying example or the underlying theme of our life experience. God will still save. And this is what Isaiah the prophet said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful and true. Verse 8 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all our faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And verse 9 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. This is the Lord we have waited for. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So there is a prophecy, again, that I say has not been completed or fulfilled yet, because this is going to involve all of us. Now let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to our comment, and we're going, or our compliment, and we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And this is how Paul, you might say, expands upon this instruction that God will still save. This is what Paul taught Timothy. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Lord God and Savior. And I see that it's time for the break, so we're going to stop here until the break is concluded.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith.
I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was.
If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose the spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wit's end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to love, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, as we conclude the 35th instruction, God will still save. We were reading the complement, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4, and this is how I would say Paul taught Timothy, and he expanded upon this notion of God will still save. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So Paul is connecting it by saying that God will save. Now we're going to, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that Jesus came specifically to seek and to save, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God now saves through his Son. That is critical. Even for those, my brothers and sisters, that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they are still included in this salvation factor. And that's what we should realize. That's why we must, as Jesus told us, to go out into all the world and to share the word of God through him to everyone that we meet and greet. So that's the instruction I want you to take from this, God will still save. And we'll now go to instruction number 36. And we're back to Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 3 and verse 12 are the two verses we'll read. And as I read the verse, I want you to pay attention to the instruction. Keep in mind this: "Thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now that's what the prophet said about God's promise to us, that we will be kept in perfect peace if we keep our eyes and mind on him and have the faith to endure. And this is what Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says. It says, "Thou wilt be kept in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This perfect peace, I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, is the peace that passeth all understanding. And that peace is reconciliation back to God. That's what the prophet is talking about, I suggest to you. And what Jesus or Paul is talking about when he taught Timothy that he should strive for the peace that passeth all understanding. Now what we're going to do is go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to see what the complement, the New Testament complement, says about this. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And this is what Paul says: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So Paul is telling us that because of faith, we not only have access to the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ, but we are justified by it and have peace. And that peace, I suggest to you, is that peace that passeth all understanding. Now, I want you to understand about this spiritually. This is what the instruction is telling us, that the peace that passeth all understanding is our reconciliation back to God from sin. And only Jesus gives us that. But we must be reminded and understand that this peace is afforded to all, even those who do not believe and accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It is available to them. Now, will they attain it? I think not, if they don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now let's go to instruction number 37. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to look at this instruction as I read chapter 27, verse 1 and 2, in that day of God. My brothers and sisters, again, I suggest to you, this is that day of God right now. Now, this is what Isaiah says, and he was telling this prophecy to the Israelites. This is what Isaiah says. In that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. Verse 12 and 13 will give us more clarity on this prophecy. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. Now, that encompasses many things that shall happen from the time that Isaiah prophesied this until today. The most important factor is to understand this prophecy has not completely been revealed to us yet, because it has not totally happened. And we'll get more an understanding of that when we go to the New Testament complement. Now, remember, the instruction is in that day of God. Now what we're going to do is go to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read several verses from Matthew 24, because God, or Jesus, is giving us an understanding, again, of that day completed. This is what Jesus says in chapter 24, and it's verse 4 to start. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Chapter 15 says, when ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, you must go to the book of Daniel, my brothers and sisters, and look up the abomination of desolation. You'll find out more about it, and we will continue after the break.
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes. He erases the tapes. and no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ, perhaps for the first time, in total surrender of your life to him, if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life, and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other, and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we left off at instruction number 37, and we were looking at the New Testament complement, how it compares and agrees with the instruction in that day of God, which I am saying to you, we are right now in that day of God. And we heard what Isaiah prophesied to Israel concerning it. And now we're listening or reading how Jesus also prophesied about that day. And we just finished it where we read about the abomination of desolation. And now what we're going to do is go to verse 29 through 31. And this is what Jesus continues to say about that. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We are really realizing from that time frame is right now, as well as in the future. Right now, meaning if it's your individual demise, in the future, if it is at the end of the world. And of course, we know Jesus was actually talking about the end of time as we know it. But we have to realize that the end of our personal time as we know it is that day of God, which the instruction is telling us. Now, what the next verse says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, one from one end of heaven to the other. And that is now verse 36 concludes this thought that Jesus has by saying, but that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And that is what I'm saying to you, that that day could be in a moment from now for you. It could be in an hour from now for you. But that is what Jesus is talking about, or I am suggesting that you should be alert about. And this is what it should mean to you spiritually in your life, that when death comes to us individually, that is our day of the Lord. And we better be ready, meaning ready right now. That is the key, my brothers and sisters, that I want you to understand, that right now this instance is the day of the Lord for us. Now let's go to the next instruction, number 38. We're going back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 1 through 4, and this is the instruction that I'd like for you to pay attention to as we read the text. God will punish according to his will. According to God's will, he will punish. That's the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read this. For this is identifying a moment in time during the prophecy of Isaiah. And this is what it says. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Now remember that Ephraim at one time was embraced by God, more especially when Jacob, when his son Joseph had Ephraim and Manasseh, his two boys, Jacob took them as part of his tribe. Okay? So that's where the crown of pride is. Now, the woe is because afterwards Ephraim fell, and God's punishment is according to his will, not ours. And it says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath mighty and a strong one, which has a tempest of hail and destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overwhelming, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Now, as I want to remind you, the reading of the prophecies sometimes are clairvoyant, meaning they're out of sight. It seems to not make a lot of sense unless you're constantly studying and reviewing and comparing them with other texts, and this is why this here sounds a little off. Verse 3 says, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he had looked upon it, seeth while it is yet in his hand to be eaten up. Now this is the prophecy that Isaiah is identifying against Ephraim, and this is the instruction. God will punish according to his will. So it doesn't matter if you did good yesterday. If you're still alive and not doing good today, you can still be punished. That's what I'm sharing with you. Now let's go to the book of Revelations. We're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see exactly what the book of Revelation says about this in another framework. This is God will punish according to his will. Now this is what the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19 says. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? A lot of Christians are identifying or use this identification for the whole Bible. But it's not the whole Bible that it's talking about. It's talking about the book of Revelations. And verse 19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book or the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That is so critical that we understand what is written in the book of Revelations, because in that book gives us the final instructions, if you will, before we leave this earth. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy and will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. So we must work out our own soul salvations in fear and with trembling and hope on the mercy of God. God is the one that determines what will be and what will not be. All through the reading of the scriptures, you will find that God says that he is the ultimate. And what we're going to do is now go to our break. And after the break, we will continue with the lesson.
At a young age, we find ourselves searching for direction and purpose. While taking the time to observe the greats that have done this before us and modeling their footsteps to match our own. I have a fond memory of a leader like this. His name was Ralph Balducci, my 8th grade football coach. It was his first year coaching our team, but when he stepped on the field, you could see this passion and desire in his eyes. As the year went on, his belief in us grew stronger, and our own success started drawing our team closer together. Our belief in our shared values took us farther than just the game of football. Our friendship and trust in each other also grew stronger. It was all because of one man caring so much to inspire a young group of kids to achieve something great. The leadership is not a position awarded to an individual. It's the individual's desire to lay the foundation for others to follow and help them find the courage to do something that may otherwise seem impossible. We all need great leaders in our lives to help us through the hard times and inspire us to do great things. Because once we go through the experience of following great leadership, we find ourselves developing the leadership traits that will soon inspire the next group of individuals looking for direction and purpose. Become that next leader that uplifts others' motivation to develop the passion for opportunities yet to come.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. This is instruction number 39. We're going to be looking at the Bible text, Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 1 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Israel shall suffer because of disobedience. We could actually put us in that place of the name Israel, we can say we shall suffer because of disobedience. But Isaiah is talking directly to Israel, so this is the prophecy he's giving in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 1 through 7. It says, "Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year. Let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel. And there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount. And I will raise forts against thee, and thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust. The multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel Even all that fight against her and her munitions and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. And we know that Israel suffered constantly because of disobedience, not only in the prophet Isaiah time, but in the prophet Elijah's time, in the prophet Jeremiah's time, in the prophet Ezekiel's time. And I'm just talking about the identification of those major prophets as Israel identified them, because you had 15 other prophets, the what they call the minor prophets. The point is that Israel shall suffer because of disobedience. We also, my precious brothers and sisters, shall suffer because of disobedience. Now, to complete this thought, I'm going to go to verse 10 through 14 of the same chapter, 29, verse 10 through 14, and this is what is continuing. The Isaiah prophet says, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I proceed to do marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." My brothers and sisters, Israel to this day is under siege because of disobedience to God. And more especially during the reign of Solomon, there was a split. When Solomon died, the northern tribes left the southern tribes and have become two. And to this day, they are still separated. And until that is brought back together, they are under the punishment of disobedience. And this is, now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what the book of Luke says in Luke chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. This is how Jesus is simulating. He's connecting this dot, and he is talking about Jerusalem. This is Luke chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, and this is what it says. "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following." Well, I'm going to start with verse 34. That was verse 33. 34 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doeth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And this is an overreaching prophecy or parable that Jesus gave. He's talking about Jerusalem at large, the physical Jerusalem. But we know that the spiritual Jerusalem is the Jerusalem that will inherit eternal life, and we are included in that spiritual Jerusalem. So when Jesus says, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," that's when Jesus shall return from the cloud. In the book of Revelations, it tells us in chapter 1 to receive us as one. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we all suffer because of disobedience. But thank God for Jesus Christ and faithfulness and repentance through him that he brings us. That is our way back to God. As long as we're breathing in and out, my brothers and sisters, we have repentance available to us through faithfulness. And we can cause the disobedience that we have to be rescinded. God will forgive us of that disobedience. That's what I want you to understand through this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction, number 40, and we're going to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, we're going to be reading verse 15 and verse 16. Chapter 29, verse 15 and 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we read the text. Man cannot remove himself from God, regardless of what we think we can do, even if we go into a suicide state. We cannot remove ourselves from God. And this is what the prophet Isaiah says about that. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say unto him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding?" What the prophet is saying is that man cannot remove himself from God. And this is what our complement is telling us about this, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to the book of Romans. We're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I know we're familiar with this. And this is how Paul expounds upon that very thought. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God the Father." And so we understand that in the book of Revelations, it tells us that God's tabernacle is with men. And so that is what God has created us for, to commune with man. So regardless of what you think, you cannot remove yourself from God. Now, there is a removal that is talked about in scripture, in theology, where when you go to hell, if that is your destination, that you are away from God. And I can understand why they share it that way. But in fact, God is an all-consuming fire. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is ubiquitous. That means he's everywhere at the same time. So you still cannot get away from God, even though you can think that you are removed from God. You are not removed from him. Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually about this in your life, that God made us in his own image and likeness. He cannot remove himself from his own image and likeness. So we cannot escape. That's the key. We are made in the image and likeness of our Creator. And whether we like it or not, we are a part of what he has destined us to become. My brothers and sisters, this completes the lesson for this evening. As we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. In your life.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.